All right, it's that time again, Reflections in the Dark, here on Firefall Talk Radio. Sorry we weren't here last week. We were looping in an alternate reality, made a left at the Land of Oz, should have made a right, didn't make it in time. But here we are. We're going to have some fun, talk about some crazy things in the world, a lot of different things happening. But as always, we start with my buddy up there in New England. Hey, Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, huh? How's
hey,
it going?
Hey, forget about it.
Forget about it, all right? So I'm doing really well. It's good to be here. And like always, it's a fun, it's a blast, it's thought-provoking, it's a combination of everything here on Reflections in the Dark. So it is good to be here, and I'd like to welcome our listening audience. How are you guys? And buckle up, it's going to be a fun little ride.
Yeah, it always is. I behave myself, and all of a sudden the microphone goes on and something else takes over, and I look for ways to make Joe laugh and get in trouble. And we'd be kicked out of every class we ever sat in, so it's a good thing we don't do that. But, you know, folks, on Spreaker, there is a chat app, so if you want to respond to things we say or ask a question, it's available there. I've always got it open. I don't ever see anybody. I'm a little lonely, but it's okay. We can do it all by ourselves, but a lot of things going on. But the biggest thing is in your world and in the world of some people we know, the Samsung Note 7 came out.
That is correct. The Samsung Note 7 came out, and for the techno people out there that loves technology and cell phones, and Richard and I have always gone back and forth with phones and what we like, what we don't like. One thing we both have always agreed on is our love for BlackBerry, though it's dead, unfortunately. We still have, there's still a place in our heart for BlackBerry, yeah, or the past BlackBerry. But as far as the Note 7, as you know, Apple is going to unveil their iPhone 7, and it's no wonder why Samsung skipped the Note 6 and went right to the 7 as a competition dig toward Apple, both coming out with 7 models. But Samsung has come out with the Samsung S7 Edge Active, the regular flagship S7, and just released the Note 7. So the 7 series has worked really well for them as far as water-resistant phones, wireless charging. They're doing really well. And for business users out there who like the pen, like to do a little bit more multitasking, maybe a little bit more business orientated, a lot of people will opt to do the Note. But I think this Android and Apple thing is the gap is so, it's so tiny now. They're running neck and neck with each other. So amazing phone, looks great, feels great. It's just, you know, it's a matter of preference, but in the world of technology right now, the Note 7 has is the championship. They've got the lead right now as the best smartphone in to come out here in 2016. So we'll see what Apple does.
You know, what's interesting is since smartphones came out, I had the Nokia first, and then went to BlackBerry, and of course, I wish BlackBerry had not done what they did, but they are, you know, they're gone. They will never catch up, and it won't ever matter. And so for all these years, from the iPhone 4, 4S, 5, 5S, 6, 6S, I was an iPhone person. Well, no longer, folks. I actually have a couple iPhones for sale. If you want to reach out to me directly before they go on eBay, do so. One of them's still under warranty. I'm done. I'm done with Apple and a smartphone device and considering migrating away from their laptop, mostly because don't like the company, don't like what they represent, and one of the things we'll talk about here in a second has something to do with that, but I've got the Samsung Active, and folks, let me just tell you this. If you're looking to switch, here's the difference. When I had the iPhone, I was always plugged in. My S7 Active, I went 36 hours without having to plug it in. I want to see how long I could go before it got down into the 20% area. Got to 21% at 36 hours, and that's with me using it. So that ought to tell you something. If you're tired of being a wall hugger, you might want to consider And if you're tired of Apple and some of the things they represent, you might want to consider. But, you know, let's talk a minute for mobile technology, because something I've experienced is exactly what they're talking about. But the one thing that I see, and I want to see if you hear this in what you do, is that mobile technology is going towards what they call walled gardens, meaning Google, Facebook, Twitter, all the communities are being self-contained. They're walling themselves in so you don't have to go anywhere for anything else. You can go into your Facebook app or online or whatever, so any of the one of the social medias, and never leave it. You can get sports, you can get news, you can interact with friends and family. And so basically, it's almost like what AOL tried to do years ago but didn't get done. A self-contained, walled-in community, and that's where they say mobile technology is going.
Well, the thing that you talk about, the walled garden, you know, if anybody had the walled garden, it was Apple. Apple was, when they came out with the original iPhone, and even all the way up until now, they've always been deemed as that company that has a walled garden, meaning everything happens inside their compound. And you can do everything you need to do within that compound. The problem always with dealing with Apple is they had so much control over everything, you couldn't do anything without them. I mean, even trying to retrieve passwords that you forgot, you'd have to go through a series of security questions and do whatever you needed to do just to be able to reset that password if you'd forgotten some of the your email that you might have used or the password and you don't remember those security questions. Now they've made it easy to get it, but back then it was like really pulling teeth. So people would jailbreak their phones and break free of that garden and allow them to be able to download other apps and have a little bit more freedom, what Apple wouldn't allow you to. So there is the security aspect of why you would want to be in a walled garden, but there's also the adverse effect that they're in total control and right. Just how much control they're really going to be in. When Android came out, they were total open source, as you know, where it was left you vulnerable because it was like having no armor on you. You left yourself open for a lot of things. You had a lot of fun with it, but you left themselves open. What I think Samsung is doing or has done for Android, it has really secured a lot of things. And going with Samsung Pay, the iris scanner, all the things that Samsung is starting to do security-wise has been really good. But to close it up, what you just said, you can see now that walled garden amongst everybody and all kind of working in one accord together, you know, with Facebook, with Google, with Apple, I mean, Samsung, everybody kind of having some sort of partnership together is really, if you look at the overall picture, you are becoming in a huge garden, and that garden is with everybody in there, almost like one big, huge compound. So it's almost like, in this crazy way, Richard, if you were to look how technologies work and how Apple and everything's working and what's going on behind the scenes in technology, you pretty well have an idea what's happening in the world, because it's just a small down version of electronically what has really happened in the big world. It's they use the same things. It's still monopoly. It's still a lot of those little things that are going on, and it's almost they're kind of building their own little United Nations, you know. Right. So it's crazy. As crazy as that sounds, you could kind of see what's going on in the world by seeing how we are advancing in technology.
You know, when you were saying that, and I'd already thought about that, and it's leading into some other stuff. Everything, all of media, all of entertainment is controlled by the same five or six companies, and under them, they own all the smaller companies. So you think you're an individual, and you think that you're in a separate, okay, I have my Facebook, I have my Google Hangouts, Google Plus, Twitter, whatever it is that I'm plugged into, Pinterest, you know, the photos or Etsy or whatever, but they all own it. And they're slowly, very covertly merging things. So like Google, you sign up for one thing and now you're involved in five or six, whether you want to or not. And then you have to opt out. But the one thing I noticed, and I mentioned this to you, and it actually ties into a report I read. According to Morgan Stanley, they did a report that the mobile browser audience is twice as large as the app audience, and it's growing faster, meaning people are migrating away from apps and going directly into their mobile browser and bookmarking a page. Now, when I had the iPhone, there's an app for that. That was their big thing. You were brainwashed into getting apps, whether you needed them or not. Your phone was clogged with apps. But then you had the handful or the little bubbles with 5 or 6 or 12 in them that were on that front page, and your thumb could reach them almost unconsciously. And I caught myself before I broke free of the iPhone needing to check my email or to check a time on a movie, and the next thing I know, Facebook's open. And I'm going, I didn't want Facebook, but my thumb did. My thumb chose Facebook. It's almost like a programming that now people are like me are breaking away from. And instead of adding apps and clogging up the S7 Active, I'm just simply bookmarking the page I want to go to in my browser. And that seems to be the trend that people are trying to break free. But, as we know, breaking free of anything is not easy. But the whole app concept, initially intriguing, was a trap.
Funny that you say that, because there is one little corporation out there called Microsoft that had received a lot of slack for their phones and not having enough apps and not doing all this. Well, for the past 3 or 4 months, they have been creating various bills leading up to the Windows 10 anniversary, which just started rolling out to all the Windows 10 phones or the devices that are compatible for Windows 10. It rolled out, I think it was last week. Well, they've done a lot of things with it. They too have an iris scanner. They also have advanced in a lot of ways using the voice assistant Cortana, building up Amazon apps, things like that. Even the Facebook, they have iOS, Apple's Facebook app is actually now Windows app. It's the same one. They basically borrowed Apple's. So they're doing a lot of those things. Now, they cut out a lot of the banking apps and all those little things that you're talking about. Even PayPal. Now, I don't know if they got rid of PayPal, they cut PayPal loose, or vice versa, PayPal cut them. I'm not really too sure. And there were people that were unhappy about that. But here's the most interesting thing. In reading a blog, coincides exactly what you said. One of the guys who done the blog talked about how much they liked the Windows phone and how much they broke free of the same thing you're talking about, broke free of the various apps. And he said, I don't know why everybody's complaining. They're just apps. They're just shortcuts, an elegant shortcut in the form of an app, a bubble, basically. Right. He says, just go in to your web browser and bookmark them. Bookmark your PayPal. Bookmark your Bank of America. Bookmark Wells Fargo or whatever you're looking for, and just pin them on your phone. So now you just click on it, and there it is. And it's exactly what you said. See, we wanted the convenience of having all these apps. We wanted to say, well, my app does all this.
Did we really? Or did those commercials? There's an app for that. There's an app for that. And they made it look so cool, and they made it look so easy and so cutting edge. And I remember I didn't have it. I had the BlackBerry during that time, and I was thinking, you know what, that is kind of cool, and this doesn't have that. And if I just want to check my bank account, I don't have to go to a browser. I don't have to log in. It was all the deception of convenience. But when you do that, you're giving up something. First of all,
right.
If you're using an app regularly and you leave it logged in, you're opening up your phone to those people.
Hmm.
And so there was no security. But as I've been researching all of this and where technology's going, it seems like there's a little tug of war going on between them and the people. But on the bigger picture, there's something that's really frightening that's coming. First of all, the internet, the web is 25 years old as far as mobile web technology. 25 years old. And, you know, it's grown to a place, and where it's going is completely different. But there are now what they call Bluetooth low-energy beacons that are going to enlarge the web to billions of physical world objects, i.e. the phones, smartwatches, tablets, all those things. Think about that. An addition of billions of Bluetooth low-energy beacons. And in early March, the Mobile Now Act was passed by the United States government, including both the Senate and the Federal Communication Commission, FCC's plan to expand mobile broadband to something called 5G throughout the country by 2020. Now, I didn't know anything about this, and I'll give credit to my brother in the Lord, Brian, there in Tennessee. He mentioned it to me, and I'd heard it, but I'd never looked into it. And once I looked into the whole 5G broadband technology, I was both shocked but not surprised, because it ties into what we've talked about for 6 years now, about the fallen, when they get out, what's it going to try to do? And it's going to take the ability to control mankind. And in my book, The Supernatural Battle, I talked about the hive mind and what it would take to pull off what they want. Well, these billions of Bluetooth low-energy beacons and 5G mobile technology will allow them to have instantaneous hive mind. Now, let me explain what 5G is. 5G, let's just think, your phone now are 4G LTE. 5G will be 100 times faster. You'll be able to download movies in seconds. And the first, the consumers will have it by 2020. And depending upon where you are, it could be 10 times faster, it could be 100 times faster. And the excuse is, well, we have people in the rural areas that really need to have access. No, nobody needs to have something in seconds. There's a bigger picture going on here, especially when it's got such huge radiation increases that there's been an increase in tumors in the brains of rats that have been tested with this cell technology. And then most people would say, well, that's just technology. But my question then becomes, why did the FCC voted unanimously and railroaded this through and did not allow any discussion? None at all. In fact, at the conference that they just had in June when they announced this, some interesting things happened. And tell me what you think about it, Joe, when I described what happened. And the FCC Commissioner Tom Wheeler, who made the announcement, did not allow any discussion. In fact, when people tried to protest it, they did some heavy Gestapo things. Case in point, Todd Shields, Bloomberg reporter, stood up in the middle of the meeting on video and said this: moments ago, I was attempting to talk to some people who came to attend the meeting and have concerns about radiation and 5G. And your security force intervened, told the guy he couldn't show me the T-shirt he wished to display at the meeting, forced him to put it away, and confiscated my FCC-issued ID. Is this consonant with the discussion that ought to be taking place here? And what's your reaction to the action by your staff? Guy dances around it, doesn't really answer it. So another guy gets up. Probably why you probably shouldn't videotape these meetings. Kevin Motis, former congressional candidate, said the same thing. Hey, Tom, with the NTP study showing wireless causes cancer subthermally, how can you proceed with more wireless expansion with FCC standards only recognizing thermal effects, ignoring thousands of studies showing cancerous effects, neurological effects, reproductive harm, immune system disorders? People are being electrosensitive. Tom Wheeler completely ignores it and just simply says, well, 5G will use much higher frequency bands from 24 to 100 plus gigahertz, antennas that can aim and amplify signals, massive deployment of small cells, tens of billions of dollars in economic activity, hundreds of billions of microchips. If something can be connected, it will be connected. Unlike other countries, we won't wait for the standards. Doesn't even answer those two accusations. Why would the FCC rubber stamp what appears to be a dangerous cellular technology and just roll it out there?
Well, you know, being involved with cell phones, electronics, and tablets, and home automation. I mean, everything that's going on with, you know, what these cell phone carriers are doing, Verizon and AT&T obviously being the two prominent ones. Basically, for the past 2 weeks, actually 3 weeks, a lot of AT&T customers have been receiving letters in the mail that their 2G phone will not be working anymore. That they have to upgrade to at least a 3G phone. So basically AT&T has given this little flip phone that it supports 3G. So they're coming in by the hundreds in all sorts of AT&T stores right now wanting their free phone. And then I realized, well, why were they moving up to 3G? Why were they being forced? Because I still don't believe 4G, the LTE network, you know, the LTE network has perfected 100% yet. But depending on where your towers are, your signals, it's a lot faster in other areas than it is. New York, it's extremely fast. I think Florida is also fast as well, and throughout the world. But anyway, they're gearing up for this 5G. Don't know really too much about it. Hasn't been talked about within the company, but they're getting themselves ready to transition. What I my fear of with this whole 5G thing, and of course what you said too, I mean, when you think of radiation, when you think of the effects that it has on us, on our body, on our minds, on our brains, I mean, there's a lot of dangerous stuff. I just have a feeling, and this is just my conspiracy theory thought here, 5G is going to welcome a lot of things, and I believe it might be, and you tell me, Richard, because I know you have really studied a lot of about this. I believe it's going to bring in a frequency that is enough. Like you always talk about the gigahertz, like you did at the C conference when you talked about it that second night, I think it was night two or three. No, actually, it was three. It was when you did the Sunday at that church.
Right.
I really believe that there's something to do with the signal, with 5G, with however we talk about those things, that those waves, those whatever you call them, is enough of what the fallen need to come here. I really link this to the fallen. I really link this to mind control and things that they're going to be able to control over our minds through these cell phones, through this technology. And I think they're finally tapping into the right frequencies they need to do that.
I think you're right. I've been thinking about this all day. There's so much information that would take up the whole show, and I don't want to do that. You know, NYU, New York University, and Massey University in New Zealand, I have clearly stated the 5G wireless transmission will bring health dangers to all biological and plant life on a level never seen before, and they're rubber stamping it, and they're rolling it out for 2020. It just reeks. It reeks of the fallen. It reeks of mind control. I'm going to do some research on what you just said, and I bet the 2G phones that those people have can't be tracked by GPS. I would bet for GPS you have to have 3G. And anybody with one of those little flip phones, and I know a lot of security-conscious conspiracy people, do not want the higher transmissions on their phones. I bet they're forcing people to be tracked. I bet they're forcing people onto the network. There's always an ulterior motive here. Yes, it's money. Of course, it's always about money. But when you're talking about an additional billions of low-frequency Bluetooth towers to wrap this entire planet in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, according to what Tesla was trying to do and the Nazis tried to implement but didn't have the ability to do so. We're talking Facebook and Google and other people putting satellites up in outer space to broadcast Wi-Fi to Africa and India and those places where they can't get the towers. You're telling me this is out of the goodness of their heart or good intentions? No. Those people don't have the technology. They don't have the tablets. They don't have the ability. Oh, we're going to give it to them. Why? Why? Why are you doing this? What's the real ulterior motive? Now, of course, if we stood up a meeting and said some of what you and I just said, those are those conspiracy nuts. Those guys are completely crazy. No, I don't think so. I think 5G has got more than just danger. I think it's got something to do with the hive mind, with control, so that, get ready for this one, the industry giants of mobile technology believe that by 2020, 50 billion people, there'll be 50 billion connected devices of smartphones, of tablets, of smartwatches. Then you add the Wi-Fi in the homes and the smart meters on your homes and your smart TV, you're basically bathed in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. That has got to be wrong on so many levels, but they won't even Absolutely. Allow discussion.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Here's the other thing that's crazy. And this is why I believe, listen, and now we could really take this into a whole nother hour if we wanted to, but look at it this way. Now that they're being forced to go from the 2G to at least a 3G, so now the 3G becomes the lower tier, because they're making way for the 5G, okay? That, we get that. Here's what else they're doing. AT&T just rolled out a plan today that if you, this is crazy, and you might think that I'm crazy. No, not really, but you won't think I'm crazy because you probably will go the same direction. So here's what's going on. Say what we're talking about 5G. Say we're talking about the health risks. Just take that for instance. The plan that AT&T rolled out today is whatever you're on. So if you're at a 10 gig, 5 gig, 15 gig, 20 gig, okay, you can't go over your data no more. They're going to charge you $5 more a month per line, but there's no more overage. So if you're at 20 gigs and you only have a 15 gig plan, you're not going to be tagged for overage. But here's what's going to happen. They're going to manipulate and slow down the bytes, the kilobytes, to make it more difficult for you to go online. So what it's going to do, it's going to slow everything down, slow the bit rate, and it's going to be like back in the day of AOL when it seemed to take forever to get online. Right. But here's what I'm thinking of. This is my whole crazy thought. For you to be able to take so long to get online, whether you're on your phone, obviously, or your tablet, is that longer time that it would be to do more damage to you mentally? Like, if it takes 5 minutes to load a video where it would have taken only 2 minutes.
What's sustained exposure to the radiation.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that the other day, and I looked that up, and there are some people out there. There are thousands of pages about this, folks. About this is a very covert way of sterilizing men because they put their phones in their pocket, creating tumors, population control. And there's actually a pretty bad, we watched it anyway, thing on Netflix called Between. And basically, the concept of the series is, and it's a very limited series, 6 episodes a season. Everybody in this town under the age of 22 dies. And then what you find out is the local lab, local scientists were developing some kind of in the water, some kind of chemical to manipulate people to die younger, and it went haywire. So instead of killing people over the age of 70, started killing people over the age of 22. And so all you have is in this town is they're all kids. There are no adults. And then we talk about this and some of the other things, the fluoride in the water, the toxins in the ground, the fact that they won't let you not have those things. It's all about control. It's all about all the things that we've ever talked about. Even the next thing I want to jump to, and it'll segue right in, chemtrails. Chemtrails are back in the news. Now, what are chemtrails? Well, it depends on who you ask. but the discussion of them dates back to 1996, when people began to talk about the dangers of those white lines in the sky. Now, if you listen to the scientists, and we'll talk about that in a second, it's promoted as an anti-government paranoia by the mainstream media, and only promoted as truth by conspiracy theorists who appear on internet radio, like us. And so what is the difference between a chemtrail and a contrail? Chemtrail stands for chemical trail. Contrail is a condensation trail. So here's what a recent study that came out in Irvine, California, just this week, is trying to present. They're trying to present, those of us that talk about chemtrails, as we have, I've seen them, I believe that they're real, that it's a conspiracy theory, that some kind of a chemical release is in those mist or those lines for solar radiation management, psychological manipulation, human population control, weather modification, biological warfare, the causing the respiratory illnesses, which are truly on the rise, and other health problems. And what they're saying is, no, these are condensation trails. These are contrails formed at high altitudes, and there's nothing more than condensation of water. There's no proof, according to the scientists from the University of California at Irvine and Carnegie Institute for Science. Oh, there's no proof. We asked 77,000 atmospheric chemists and geochemists if they'd come across any evidence of large-scale spraying programs, and 76 responded that they had not. I'm sure they handpicked the 77 scientists that they went to. So basically, this study's been going on since 2011, and they put out a poll questionnaire, and they found out that 17% of the people worldwide that responded believed, at least partly, that the streaks were harmful chemicals. And now listen to the article. The article says this: to evaluate truthers' claims, they immediately label you. One of the aspects of propaganda manipulation is to label the dissenting opinion in a derogatory manner. So they're claiming that anybody who believes in chemtrails are truthers, and that there is no reference to it. But they had a little problem. Out of the 77 scientists that responded, one of them said yes. He believed that there were high levels of barium in an area that should have had typically low levels in the soil. And then they followed up with another interview, and he wouldn't back down from the fact, and he took the logical approach. He said, I believe it is possible. And so what did they do? They criticized him because he wouldn't exclude the fact that it might be true. In fact, they really denigrated him by saying, well, this person was actually supporting this kind of conspiracy. We're kind of shocked that he wouldn't completely exclude it. See, this is more manipulation, just like the 5G.
That's just crazy. I mean, when I listen to some of the things that we talk about and I stop and think of them, I'm like, wow, that just... It almost sounds so sci-fi. Everything sounds so unreal. Like, you know, maybe 30 years ago, we would have seen it on TV and just laughed about it and say, wow, those directors, you know, producers have great imaginations. But when we see all this stuff happening, you have to really start to think in your mind, what motives do they have? And in the end, like this whole theme of this whole show has been, whether we're talking about the world, whether we're talking about politics, whether we're talking about cell phones, we're talking about everything, has just really one motive of all, and would be population control. That's what I'm seeing right now. And I don't know what we're going to be bouncing on the next topic, but I will say this, Richard, and this might be completely off the record. You know, I don't want to go into this, but... Have you also noticed everything that's happening right now politically in the world and what we see going on with technology wise, does it appear to be there is more and more craziness that's happening with what people are doing? And here's a case in point of a story that I just have to share. I don't know if you've seen the article, but I don't know if it was a toddler that was left in the car. Actually, I'd seen one of an animal also being left in the car where I don't know how many hours that that animal was left in the car, but it actually, the video showed the police breaking the window, getting the animal out, giving the animal water, and the dog was on its last leg just with the heat in the car. Same thing with a baby. Baby had been left in the car. Cop came in, broke down, brought the baby back to life, did CPR. So I start thinking, and we always talk about this, with what's happening with the towers, electronics, and mind control, things that they're coming in through our cell phones, could they be altering people's minds? We always talked about what was going on with the desensitization with drugs and people getting involved with the bath salts back then, you know, that we talked about it. But is it possible that these cell phones are doing something to people that are causing them to act out so erratically that you would do something like leave an animal locked in the car?
Well, think about it. We've been talking about low levels of radiation that will affect your mind. And the one thing that every one of these people that have done this, I just simply forgot. And I'm thinking, you know, I haven't had little kids in a really long time. And I've always been even overprotective. But how could you forget that you strapped a child in your back seat? Well, you're distracted by technology. You're distracted by the cares of this world. Your brain is clouded. And I think it all ties together. And, you know, if somebody had the money or if somebody gave us the money, I would go do this as a part of what I want to do out there on the road is just talk to people. How much do you use your phone? How much Wi-Fi? Do you have a smart meter? When did you notice lapse in memory? So, you know, to begin to study the fact that there's something bigger going on here. You know, even with this chemtrail thing, you know what they blame it on? The co-author of the study, a guy named Stephen Davis, a University of California, Irvine, associate professor of the Earth System Science, he blames it on the internet, that the chemtrail conspiracy theory maps closely to the origin and the growth of the internet. So basically, any of us that think like this, oh, we're just internet idiots because, you know, Art Bell or all these shows out there like that, you know, those guys on that Reflections and the whatever, and they're always talking about this stuff. Well, you know what, Mr. Stephen Davis, it has nothing to, well, the only thing it matches is the ability of information and people like us to talk and people to begin to compare notes. Like, I remember, and I didn't check the date, I think it was January, it was New Year's Day, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, sitting out by the pool and I was praying. Really nice day, warm enough that I could kick up my feet, my slides, and send you a picture. That kind of warm. And all of a sudden, I noticed a streak go across the sky. And I said, all right, let me watch this. And then I noticed another streak. Now, there's no airport close enough for me to say, well, a plane is circling. And then I noticed a little checkerboard pattern happening. And then I began to notice, and I took a picture of it and posted it. I got a tickle in my throat. That was not there before this started, and I finally figured I need to go inside, and within an hour, I had a raging sinus infection. And then I checked the internet. I posted it online, and then I checked the internet in my area, and there were a number of other people that said the exact same thing. They were watching what was going on. They suddenly had a tickle in their throat, and they either had a cold or some sinus thing happening, the asthma thing. I mean, that's not made up. I experienced it. I was an eyewitness account. I had a personal experience. But you said something about watching these TV shows. We watched The X-Files periodically. And then you watch these shows that are 20 years old going, how did they get away with that? How did they get away with the fact that anybody like Mulder that goes out there to expose it, that believes it, They mock them. They marginalize them. They label them. They do anything they can to make the information that's being presented to sound wacky. Spooky Mulder is what they call them. Well, we're beyond that, folks. There's too many people that are looking at this and going, well, you can't cover it up anymore, especially when scientists from the 90s and the 70s were talking about seeding the clouds or putting aluminum in the sky to block out 1% of sunlight, or, oh, this has to do with global warming. There's just more going on here. You know, folks, why don't you write us and tell us, what do you think? You know, in 2001, U.S. Congressman Dennis Kucinich introduced but did not author H.R. House Representative 2977, the Space Preservation Act of 2001, where he wanted to permanently prohibit the basing of weapons in space and listed chemtrails as one of the exotic weapons. Well, he got mocked. The bill never went through. The State Department of Defense and other people mocked it and stopped it. Well, here we are 15 years later, and we're talking about chemtrails. We're talking about extraterrestrial activity, the environment, climate change, Teutonic weapons that cause earthquakes. 15 years later, those things, I believe, are going on. And here was a guy who made it into at least a matter of record, but of course it didn't get passed. But tell us what you think, because there's one more thing I want to cover before we run out of time.
You talked all about, I wanted to say.
What? Good.
I had to just say this just to be crazy. I'm still going back to Spooky Mulder. What it would be like Spooky Joe and Spooky Richard on Reflections at Night.
There you go. I would rather be out there with the camera. I'd rather be out there finding these towers and talking to people in the neighborhood. Jesse Ventura, who I cannot stand, he had a show that used to be very popular, but then he really went for it. He began to expose things. And they took him off the air quicker than you could blink an eye. And some of those shows are still out there on YouTube. I would like to be able to control the broadcast of it so they can't take us off. But to go out there and talk to people. One of the people I'd love to go talk to is part of this next story. We had another bizarre Florida story. And I'm not sure what it is about Florida that attracts this. Maybe it's because we're below sea level. Who knows? On August 16th, at around 9 p.m., actually it was 10 p.m. at night, 19-year-old Austin Kelly Haruf, Florida State University sophomore, gets agitated, leaves the restaurant that he's eating a meal with his mother. He walks 3 miles to the home of somebody he doesn't know. Their garage is open. They kind of live in their garage. It's a gated community. He just walks in. And he kills them. He stabs them to death, stabs a neighbor who tries to stop them, and then chews the face off of the husband. Police dogs, tasers, multiple. It took a lot of people to stop him and pull him off of this couple who wound up dying. Now, he's on Flacca, he's on bath salts, he's on something. Well, as of now, he's on nothing. Just like the guy in 2012 that we labeled the Miami cannibal. Something caused this 19-year-old, who's only 6 feet tall, a couple hundred pounds, to be so strong that they described him as abnormally strong and incoherent to the point that he was making animal-like noises as he chewed on the face of the male victim and made those noises all the way back to the police station. So, of course, the sheriff's office said, well, we believe he's on cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, or maybe some hallucinogenic like Flacco or bath salts. Well, they haven't found any yet, and he didn't have an elevated fever, which usually indicates one of those things. And I believe, just like the guy in Miami, they're going to find no cause.
Well, let me tell you, listen, we can talk about radiation, and we can talk about frequencies and drugs and all those things. In a case like that, I have no other word than to say possession. It has to be. There is no other way. You remember the Supernatural episodes that we used to watch, you know, season one, season two, where, you know, the black mist there would just go dead in the person's mouth, and all of a sudden that person's possessed, and when the demon was done, it would just leave instantaneously, and the body would just be broken. And that was it, and wouldn't have no recollection of anything that was going on, what type of strength that person exhibited. It's straight out demonic possession. There's no other. I can't rationalize it. Even if I didn't believe in all this type of stuff and I was just trying to understand a little bit of what's going on, I think in my own rational mind, the only thing that I could draw, the conclusion I could still would still stick to, is say it has to be a form of possession. There is no other way that it happens when somebody's no drugs induced by anything like that. I don't care that your mind can you know, alter you and give you unusual strengths, because it's true. We know that what makes a person be able to see a car tipped over, somebody in trouble, to exercise that strength to rip that car door off. I mean, obviously we know that you can maximize that type of strength if you needed to, whether it's divine intervention, whatever you want to call it. We know of stories like that, okay? But when it becomes so twisted and evil, like that story with the guy biting the face off, I mean, think about it. That has nothing to do with your mind. That's nothing to do with, you know, psychotic. That is straight demonic, in my opinion.
It's the only answer. Occam's Razor says the easiest answer is usually the right answer. There's no other answer. And they kept this kid alive so that they could question him. They also said, you know, the reason they didn't shoot him was because he was on top of the victim, who at that point was still alive. And the victim didn't die from the biting. He died from the stabbing. The kid stabbed the three people. Two of them died. But in May of 2012, a guy named Rudy Eugene, who we now call the Miami Cannibal, he chewed the entire face off of his victim. I've seen the gross image. Nose, eyes. I mean, he chewed it all off before they stopped him. And they stopped him by unloading his Glock, the cop did, into Eugene. Supernatural strength. Didn't respond. Actually, the first couple of shots didn't respond at all until either it hit the heart or the brain or whatever. And they're thinking, oh, bath salts, flaca, you know, PCP, nothing. Nothing more than marijuana. I don't think they're going to find anything in this kit. So the question now becomes, how did they get possessed? Because I don't know that this young man was normal. Like an hour before, same thing with Rudy Eugene, 45 minutes before, he's a normal guy. 45 minutes later, he's stark naked on the Miami Causeway, walking against traffic, and then attacks this guy. What's the answer? Is it cell phone technology? How did the enemy get in there? I would love to go find out. And this is, you know, South Florida, mid to South Florida. What's going on down there? Well, I tell you this much. What I do know goes on in the state of Florida, beside a lot of witchcraft activity. The witches love the good weather. The Satanists love the good weather. You have a lot of Native American burial grounds. You have a lot of areas that have been cursed by the shamans. You have a lot of that activity, especially in South Florida. And I think all of this ties in. Now, I don't know of anybody beside us that has the experiential knowledge to go down there and to do it, but the family of Rudy Eugene, they don't want to talk on camera, and I get that, but the girlfriend just came flat out and said it. She said she believes he was either drugged unknowingly or that someone put a voodoo curse on him. See, Rudy was Haitian. And she said she never believed in voodoo till now. And the areas that he went through to get there, I know, are enclaves of the Haitian community. So what is the answer? How did he go from being a normal Bible-toting, Bible-quoting, occasional pot-smoking guy to being superhuman strength and completely chewing off the face of 65-year-old Ronald Popo? What caused him to do that? And if you also notice, the story went away. They never solved it. They never explained it. I don't know what it'd take to find out who the eyewitnesses are and who the cop was, because they've never gone public with it, because apparently the police officer that saw it and experienced it had some kind of traumatic emotional response to it, which I guess he would. I'm telling you what, if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing that's going to take it, in the name of Jesus, stop. And you better have the power and the faith to pull it off. Because if not, that person's going to be on top of you. But this is going on. This is going on in the world. It's going on in America. Is it radiation? Is it manipulation? What is it? I don't know. These are questions that need to be answered. Because I think it's going to get worse. If we're going to have 50 billion more connections and billions of more Bluetooth towers, what's that going to trigger? Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it, forgetting you have a dog. How do you forget you have a dog? How do you forget that you have a baby and that leave them in the back seat and overheat? How do you do that?
I think it comes down to everything that we've talked about tonight. And that's the one thing I love about this show, is we could always bring it back and tie everything in together, because it's just like connecting the dots. It is all connected. Let's call it for what I believe it is. What I have learned on this show today is I can say this. Something to do with the towers, the frequencies, the move to 5G, enough to obviously harm us, our health, which is a population control, to make us or cause us to do things irrational, which is also a form of population control. All these things lead to, how can we send these signals out to people to almost make them do what we want them to do, or at least what we think that they're going to do? So it's possible that you can take the characteristic and nature of every person, and it just might be altered differently. How these waves hit people differently is what makes them do either something really bad.
I got it. I'm glad we have time. I have one of those light bulb moments. I really need the sound effect. What if, to get people to be more afraid, to give up more of their rights, to not care about 5G as long as it keeps them plugged into the local police department in case of an emergency, and in case another cannibal shows up or somebody's got some virus and he's zombified or whatever, what if we have incidents like this to manipulate people, kind of like a false flag, kind of like a 9/11? Oh, I'm willing to give up anything to be safe. I'm willing to give up anything to keep this from happening to me or mine. If you want to, okay, I'll leave my cell phone on at all times. I'll never turn it off. I'll never undo the GPS or the Bluetooth, because that way, if something happens, you can find me in an instant. What if all of this is just pure manipulation to get us to become docile sheeple, to become part of the flock, to not push back, to not get off the grid, which we've talked about before. They don't want you to. The enemy's getting out. I believe that is imminent. They're getting out of prison. The fallen watchers, the tribal chiefs, the kings of the world are getting out, and they're going to want their kingdoms and their tribes and their geographic principalities back. And they're going to want humanity to be exactly the way it was in the days of Noah, compliant, to serve them in any way, shape, or form, including being food if necessary. I mentioned that Wednesday night on the Bible study, that everything was about humanity was created to serve the gods. And that's what I think technology is doing. That you hit it on the head. I think that's what all of this is all about, so that they can see what you watch, they can see what you do, they can see what you say, they can check your phone at any time. I had something happen yesterday, and I don't know if it was an accident or not. My wife suddenly looked at me and said, "Hey, your camera's on." And I went, "What?" Oh, well, maybe I hit a button, maybe I didn't, but I have a lock and I have a very long coat on mine. I don't know how my camera turned on. So I have now installed an antivirus and a mobile thing that runs in the background and blocks things. It actually makes things difficult, but I don't care. But my point is this: we know that they can back into your laptop, your smart TV, your device, because of all these towers and their ability to follow the trail into the system.
I agree with everything that you've just said, and I could just the only thing that I'm going to add to that is, as long as these frequencies are flowing like this, it's easy that I think the fallen are just joining in this flow, and it's making it easier that for them to jump in various bodies and do what they want to do and then just leave. As long as they have that electrical current or that current, it just makes it an easier platform for them to come into our realm. That's what I think. I'm just thinking that it takes a certain amount of energy. We've always talked about the belief in paranormal study that spirits are attracted to energy and electricity and however we want to call it for what it is on a scientific aspect. But let's talk about it on a spiritual, realistic aspect. Maybe these frequencies, the towers, the 5Gs, is just making it easier for them to jump from body to body quicker. I don't know. Maybe to jump in a guy into an incident like we've just seen, to cause somebody to do something like that, and then just jump out. Let the body get shot a little bit. Don't phase them. And then just as the body's about to die, then they jump and they leave because they can just flow in that current. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's just a theory, but it makes more sense to me, the need for this energy, for this current. What else would it be other than controlling us, which we know that is definitely the case, harming us, yes. But the only ones who would not be affected are the fallen.
Yeah, if you think about the 5G and the gigahertz of the DNA, I'm sure that there's something to it. I'm going to do some research on it, and as I get the information, I will present it. But I think there's something to this massive force down your throat jump by 2020, which is, 3.5 years away? Interesting timing that by 2020, 3.5 years from the time they said it's a go, we're going to be there. We will be in a place, or the world will be blanketed with massive amounts of radiation and some sort of broadcast control. We're watching it happen. And the more you want to get off the grid, the more they make it almost impossible to do so. And that they'll slow you down. There's just something more going on here. For them to give up profits, for AT&T and some of these other people, T-Mobile and some of the others, say no more overage. Wow, that's great. Well, why are you doing this? Because it's costing you money. And the reason you do this is for money. So what's the real ulterior motive here? Well, I think you got it. To make you stay online longer. Because I know, I had to lower my plan because I was barely getting up there. Because I don't get even close to my max. But now they're saying, don't worry about it. Stay online. And it may get a little slower, and you may have to hold it next to your head longer, but don't worry about that. It's safe. No, it's not. None of this is safe. Folks, we're winding down, we are winding down to the end of the hour, but we're just winding down in history. And we're seeing things happen on a level that just make no other sense than the obvious. And the obvious is the enemy's getting out. The prison doors are coming open. And you better know who you serve and who you belong to. Because these things are hungry and they are severely ticked off. And the days of Noah, we can't even imagine what that was like. Closing thoughts here, Joe. And I'm willing to go over it, so don't worry.
Closing thoughts for me is, I always learn something from every show, but this one was an eye-opener for me. This made me really realize that through technology, and we've always talked about this, but the reality is it's happening before our eyes. And in this whole 5G transition and the altering of minds and the health's being affected and some of the things that are just way out of our nature that people are doing right now, and if we can prove that it wasn't any drug induced that are causing this, you have to think what is really happening. And I believe that this is the introduction of the 5G and everything that needs to be done to execute for the next move of the enemy. So I leave this show saying this, that it's scary that we're in this situation, but at least now we can tie into a scientific reason, or we have tangible evidence potentially of how what we're doing now with carriers, the walled garden, this whole one world order type of thing is making way for none other than the fallen to happen.
Amen. And I believe that they have been in control either from long distance in the pit or the ones that are out. I believe they control media. I believe they control politics. I'd say one thing they don't control is they don't control our soul. I know where I'm spending eternity. I know who I belong to and who you belong to. And the enemy can't have that. They can't control that. We're going to do everything we can to keep exposing them and to keep shining light into the darkness. And that's why we call this Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio. We'll see you next time.